Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be spending, we spent last week on verse 18. I really expected some feedback from my lesson last week. Not one person gave me feedback. We talked about drinking. And I got to do all the talking. And so I thought somebody wants to discuss this some more, but nobody called me. So anyway, I'll take that as a good sign. But if anybody wants to talk more about it, call me. We'll talk about it.
I missed that lesson.
You ever do it? Yeah, I'll do it. Come over. We'll sit down and talk about it. And it was very interesting. I just wanted to give you some biblical information about drinking.
And it's on the internet.
And it's on the internet if you want to hear it. It's on Braden Post. You can listen to it. Just some really good information, because when you're with friends and you're discussing drinking, it just gives you something to talk about. When you're talking to your children, when you're talking to your grandchildren, you want good information to give them. So we took one whole week, and that was an unusual lesson. But today we're back on track, and today is just, oh my goodness, it's such an awesome lesson. You're going to be so glad you're here. You're going to learn some things that are going to help you today. Today is a very practical lesson, because we're going to look at one command in the verse. Now, if the book of Ephesians were a mountain, today's lesson would be the mountain peak. Because this verse, if it's left out, you can't do anything that the book of Ephesians is calling you to. Do you know what command I'm talking about? Be filled with the Spirit. It is the absolute key. It is the high point of the book. And, oh my goodness, I'm getting started. We haven't even prayed. So let's start with a word of prayer. Let's just ask God to give us ears to hear this morning. Because this one thing can be the very key to bring you into the fullness of the Christian life. Okay, so let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for every lady that's here this morning. Oh, what a blessing your word is. Just to be able to sit down and consider it and think about it and take it apart and dig into your wonderful treasure and get all of these wonderful truths that nourish our souls, and they just dwell in our hearts richly. And as we leave here, they fill us with joy, with singing, with thanksgiving. They help us to have right relationships. Oh God, your word is so absolutely magnificent. And thank you for the privilege of studying it together. And we ask you this morning, speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts. Very, very personally. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's begin by just reading. And I want us to read verses 18 through verse 21. But give me a sec, because I haven't gotten there yet. But we're actually just going to camp on verse 18. So starting with verse 18. And I'm in chapter 4. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Now, we've been looking at this book verse by verse now for 24 weeks. This is our 24th lesson. And the last three chapters of the book have been describing to us what Paul calls the worthy walk. He's calling us to a certain lifestyle. And he's showing us what that lifestyle looks like in these chapters. And today we come, as I said, to verse 18, which I see is the real key. The key verse in the whole book. Because being filled with the Holy Spirit is at the bottom of it all. It's at the bottom of walking in humility, walking in unity, walking in a way that's different from the world, walking in the light, walking in love, walking in wisdom. None of that can happen unless you are energized and you are filled with the Spirit. So I see today's lesson as actually the most critical lesson of the whole book. Aren't you glad you're here? And I'm so thrilled that this day has come. And I just see this morning as a real divine appointment for us. And we're going to be asking the question, what does it really mean to be filled with the Spirit? There's a lot of confusion about the filling of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Now let's begin with a little bit of a review, because last week, as I said, we started with a contrast. Now what's the contrast in verse 18? Don't be drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. That is the contrast. And I told you last week that drunkenness was the very way that all the pagan religions in the Mediterranean area communed with their gods. And I gave you some information about Zeus and about his son that was supposed to be the king of the earth. That was very interesting, their worship. And we talked about the god Dionysus, who was the god of this earth. In the Roman, in Latin, he was Bacchus, but he was actually the god of wine. And what they would do when they went to worship their gods, and they loved their worship because they would drink and they would drink and they would drink. They would drink so much that even archaeologically in the temples, they had certain places where you would go to vomit so that you could drink some more. And that was how the temple was designed. Very interesting. And they believed that they could commune with their gods through drunkenness. And so Paul is saying that, look, you don't get drunk with wine to commune with God. You get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a completely different approach to worship. In the pagan religions, it was very evil. It was very immoral. All kinds of sexual immorality, sexual perversion, evil music, the beating of drums. You talk about rock music, they had it. And all this lewd dancing, and everything was induced by drunkenness. There was a whole sacrificial system. They would sacrifice a bull. They would eat the raw meat. There was even mutilation. I don't even want to tell you. It was not pretty. It was perverse. And here comes Paul. He's giving the gospel. It's Christianity. It's true worship. It involves beautiful music. It involves communion with God. And it's all brought on through the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now next week I'm going to go into music really big. And I want you to be here because it's very interesting. So there's this very stark contrast between the drunken worship of the pagan systems and the Spirit-filled beauty of the worship of the true God. And that's the contrast. Now today we're going to spend our time just on that one command. It's such a rich command. And what he is saying is that this is something that I am demanding of you. It is a command. Let's get that down. It is a command. In the Greek language, and this is on your handout, there are different moods. The Greek language is a very technical, a very beautiful, you can know exactly the meaning of the words in the Greek language. And so there is an indicative mood, and whenever the scripture is speaking in the indicative mood, that means he's just giving a statement of fact. He's giving you facts. But then there is what is called an imperative mood. And when he speaks in an imperative mood, that is a command. It is a command. This verse, be filled with the Spirit of God, listen to me, is in the imperative mood in the Greek language. It is not an option for you. It is not a suggestion that might be nice if you decide you'd like to go there. It is a command. Now, what does it mean? Well, it actually means this. Be being kept filled with the Spirit. Be being continuously kept filled with the Spirit. This is a command to scriptures. And we are to, as Christians, as we study the Word of God and we come across commands in scripture, you and I are called to obey the commands. And if we'll learn to do life according to God's Word, just do it God's way, then we find life, we find joy, we find blessedness, and we find peace. Now, is it possible as Christians that I'll do it my own way? Is it? Oh, yeah. Have you ever done it your own way? All the time. But this morning, we're going to talk about living a life God's way. Being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Well, here's the first thing I want you to put down. Just some facts about the Spirit. Number one, all Christians possess the Holy Spirit in all of His fullness. You, if you are saved, you possess the Holy Spirit. When did you receive the Holy Spirit? When?
Salvation.
Good. At salvation. When you were saved, when you believe, when you are born again, when you embrace God, when you have faith in Him, the life of God, the Spirit, takes up residence with you. Now, you have to understand the Trinity. God is the Father. He's seated on the throne in heaven. He's ruling, He's reigning, He's sovereign, He's majestic. He's all-powerful, He's omniscient. Seated to His right hand is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He is our advocate. He is an intercessor. He is seated there until all of His enemies will be made a footstool for Him. But on earth, the Spirit is here. Where is He on earth?
Everywhere.
He's in the body of Christ. We are the body. Now, do you remember we learned in Ephesians that is a unique metaphor that is given only in the New Testament. It was a mystery in the Old Testament. But the cool part about being living under the New Covenant is every Christian gets the Holy Spirit. I love it. I'm so thankful I live in the New Covenant. And I want to just say there is no such thing as a Christian who doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, He's there in His totality. He does not come in units. He doesn't come, you get part of Him at salvation, later on you get more of the Holy Spirit, and then later on you get more of the Holy Spirit. No, you get Him in His totality at salvation. You get all there is to get of Him at salvation. There's not any more for you to get. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8:9 says, he does not belong to Him. Every Christian has the Spirit. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 6. We're going to go some other places because we want to explore fully this command. Be filled with the Spirit, and we want to know what it means. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verse 18 and 19. Now, let me just give you a little background about Corinth. Corinth was a new church. Corinth really came out of these pagan religions that I described to you last week. That's what their lifestyle was. Then they got saved, the church was started, and they had a problem with leadership in the church of Corinth. Some went by, some said, I'm of Apollos, and some said, I'm of Paul, and some said, no, I'm of Jesus. And so everybody, there was just a lack of leadership there. And you've got to remember, back in the New Testament times, they didn't have the written word like we do. And so they were struggling. They were baby Christians. And they were coming out of this pagan, sinful background. Now, let me tell you exactly what they were struggling with. A lot of it was sexual immorality. They were making all kinds of mistakes. They needed instruction. They needed guidance. They needed strong leadership. And they needed teaching. Now, look at verse 18 there, and let's see what that tells us. It says there to the people in Corinth, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Now look at the next verse. Or do you not know? There's something they need to know. That your body is the temple of who? Of the Holy Spirit. Who is where? In you. Whom you have from who? God. And that you no more are your own. In other words, you know what? You're not the boss of yourself anymore. When you got saved, the Spirit moved in and God bought you. And your temple, your body became the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, ladies, did you know that? Do you realize that the Holy Spirit is in you? Can I just tell you, he's not beside you. He's not in another room. He doesn't come and go. When you got saved, he moved in. He took up residence in your body. And so what Paul is saying is like, are you crazy? I mean, are you going to be immoral with your body? Don't you know the Spirit of God lives in you? Are you going to take your body that the Spirit is in and do immoral things with it? Heaven forbid. You can't do that, he says. Now, I think it's interesting that he doesn't come to them and say, ooh, you're getting some bad stuff. I think what you need to do is get more of the Holy Spirit. You better give yourself to the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say that. He says, no, don't you know? Don't you understand? The Spirit of God is in you. He's already there. So you'd better stop acting immoral, because you're defiling the Holy Spirit who is already resident in you. Now look at verse 20. It says, for you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, you need to take your body and glorify God with it. Now let me just say this. Even as a Christian, if we get involved in sin, the Holy Spirit is there. You're taking the Holy Spirit right into sin. You know, it helps me to know the Spirit is in me. It helps me. It makes me want to walk a better way. I don't want to take him anywhere he doesn't want to go. I don't want to do things. Now, Ephesians 4:30 tells us a fact about the Holy Spirit. He can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. And then if you go to 1 Thessalonians 5:19, you learn another fact about the Holy Spirit. He can be quenched. And that's what happens when you sin. It's just like pouring a big bucket of water on the fire of the Holy Spirit that's in you. And another thing about the Spirit is He. He. The Spirit is not it. He's a personality. He's a person. He feels sadness. He can have sorrow. He grieves over our sin. He can be defiled when our temple does things it shouldn't do. So let's review. Every believer has the Spirit. Every Christian, when you were saved, and we learned this in Ephesians 1, God took you. Now look at me. He baptized you into the body of Christ. He made you to become identified. He baptized you. And every Christian drinks of the Spirit. Every believer is the temple of the Spirit of God. Now listen to how Galatians 2:20 puts it. Paul says this, For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives where? In me. Who is that? Christ in you. Who is that? It's the Spirit of God. You see, the Spirit of Christ lives with me. Now, I want to take you to another interesting verse. Go to John chapter 7. And we're going to hear Jesus talking here. And I love this. I think it's going to help you. Look at verse 37, John chapter 7. John 7, verse 37 and 38. Let's see what it says. Now, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now let me ask a question. Study your Bible with me. Who is the one who gets rivers of living water? Who is it? Now look at your Bible.
He who believes in God.
Good, thank you. It's he who believes. Write it down. The one that gets rivers of living water in their innermost being, I love it, is the one who believes. Anybody that believes. Anybody that comes to Jesus and says, I'm thirsty. I want a drink. And they take Christ as their Savior. They get rivers of living water. Now here's the next question. What is he talking about? What are the rivers of living water? Well, verse 39 tells us. Look at it. But this he spoke of who? Who? the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Now, we haven't quite gotten to the new covenant yet. It was cut on Passover in the upper room with the disciples, and it became a fulfillment on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit came on that day. And so, verse 39 tells us, this was speaking of the Holy Spirit that's going to come. It's not yet here, but the ones who believe in him will receive it. Now, who gets the Spirit? It's the one who believes. It's the simple act of saving faith that gives you the Holy Spirit. It's not, I'm trying to tell you, it's for all of us. It's not just for some who really seem to be much more holy and much more from better families and just they've had it all together their life and I'm just a mess and it couldn't be for me. Oh, yeah. But I've made so many mistakes, Teresa. Oh, it's for you. It's for anyone who thirsts and it's for anyone who believes. And I just got to stop. I'm studying this lesson and I say, oh, my gosh, just think what I've got. I've got rivers of living, life-giving water in me, in my innermost being. Oh, you know what? I just love the Christian life. Absolutely love the Christian life. Now, either God's word is true or it's not. I can just tell you as I'm walking in my life every day, rivers of living water are filling me with joy. I just love it. And I'm not special. I didn't come from a good family. I didn't come from a religious background. I mean, I came from just dysfunction. And God said, Teresa, it's for you. I love it. And I'm telling you this morning, this is for you. Rivers of living water. It's the Spirit in you. Isn't it awesome? I get just a little excited. I'm so satisfied with Jesus. Can I just tell you that? He's everything to me. I get so excited about his word. I love it. I feel so nourished in my innermost being. And it's for all of us. And we can never lose it, never. And you see, we're not like the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you know what the saints would pray? They would say, oh Lord, please don't take your Spirit from me. And that's how the Spirit moved in the Old Testament. He would land on different people. But we're in the New Covenant. God doesn't do that in the New Covenant. In the New Covenant, which Hebrews tells us is a better covenant, we get the Spirit. Every one of us gets the Spirit. Now, of all the commands in the New Testament, I want to tell you something. There is never a command that says to you, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is not in the New Testament. There is never an imperative. Something said in the imperative mood that says to Christians, you need a second experience with the Holy Spirit. You need to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is not in the New Testament. There are seven different references in the New Testament to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And not one of them is in the imperative mood. Not one of them is a command. You are never commanded. We're never commanded in Scripture to be indwelt by the Spirit. That's a promise that's already ours. We're never commanded to be sealed. Now, here's what's on your handout. At salvation, you are sealed in the Holy Spirit. It's the work of God. You had nothing to do with it. You just believed and God took you and sealed you. He gave you the Holy Spirit. We saw in chapter 1, it's the Arabon. It's the engagement ring. It's the promise that you're his. So, we're sealed. And then at salvation, listen to me, you're baptized into Christ. And at salvation, you are indwelt by the Spirit. Now, those are just facts. Those are things that you have nothing to do with. The command is this, be filled with the Spirit. This is different. It doesn't say you need to be indwelt with the Spirit. You need to be baptized in the Spirit. You need to be sealed in the Spirit. No, no, no. We are called as a command to be filled with the Spirit. Now, let's look at the Greek of that. It's going to give us some good information. And I've already told you in the Greek, it means be, being, kept, filled with the Spirit. Now, this is on your handout. It isn't a one-time deal. You don't get it at salvation, and that's all you get, that's it. You see, it's being kept filled. It's moment by moment, day by day, month by month, year by year. It is not a once-for-all filling. It is a continual filling. This is on your handout. It's passive. It's that something fills you. You don't fill yourself. And here's another fact. It is present tense. That means be continually, constantly, in the present tense, being kept continually filled by the Spirit of God. I want to say this. You can be saved. You can be baptized into the body. You can have the Spirit right in your body. You can be sealed. And you can live your Christian life in defeat. If you don't know what it is to experience moment by moment, continuously being filled by the Spirit of God. Now, what does the word filled mean? That's our next thing we want to look at. And this is my favorite. I love this. Here's three thoughts of what this word means in the Greek. Number one, it means to be carried along. To be carried along. Now, this is a picture in the Greek of a boat who has a big sail, and the wind is filling the sail and is carrying the boat along. We do a fun thing with our children, and now we do it with our grandchildren. We go down on, when it really, really rains and the ditches fill up really big, we have balls at Walmart, and we'll go down to the Handy Mart on the boulevard. And right there at that ditch, we'll drop our balls in. And then we'll quickly get in our car and we'll ride around and we'll watch the balls come under that bridge. And then we'll quickly get in our car and we'll go another place. We'll watch the balls go around there. And we'll finally end up down on Natchez where they're coming down that way, and we'll see whose ball wins. That is the picture. Do you see that the stream, the water, is carrying the ball along? The ball's not having to work to get down the stream. It's the force of the water, and it's pulling the water along. Now, that's what the picture is. You see, you don't get saved, and then somehow you try real hard in your flesh to live the Christian life. No, you put the sail of faith up, and the Holy Spirit fills the sail and moves you along. Isn't that a great picture? Here's a second thought. It's the idea of permeation. Oh, this one is so good. It's the idea of permeation. Now, a good illustration of this would be salt. Because salt permeates. And if you salt something, that flavor permeates the whole dish. What are grits without salt? I mean, you've got to have salt in grits. Amen? And if you don't, you're just, bleh. You know, if I took enough salt and put on meat, and this is what they used to do, it would preserve that meat. Because salt permeates. So there's a sense in which the Spirit of God, He wants to permeate our lives. He wants to so flavor our lives that when you're with me, you taste Him. When you're with me, it's like being with Jesus. And when somebody gets around me, they think, she's so much like Jesus. Because He's such a flavor in my life. Now, here's the third thought, and this is really, I think, the most important thought of the Greek word. It speaks of control. Control. Now, when the gospel writer wanted to talk about somebody who was dominated by an emotion, he would use this word. Let me give you some examples. In John 16:6, he said, they were filled with sorrow. Sorrow absolutely dominated their heart when they realized Jesus was going to die. Luke 5:26 says they were filled with fear. Acts 6:5 says they were filled with faith. Now, usually as we go through with life, we have a little bit of sorrow and we balance it with a little bit of happiness. And you know, I'm just kind of balancing it here. And if something really sad happens, I don't want to talk about that. I'll think about something happy. But you know what? If someone I loved dearly, one of my grandchildren, or my husband, were to suddenly be unexpectedly taken from me. And I had a taste of this emotion when McKee almost drowned last June. I just had a taste of what that would feel like. Sorrow would absolutely just completely dominate me. I can just feel what that would feel like. I would be controlled by it. I would be filled with it. Now, I would get over it because the grace of God promises me that. But it would dominate. It would control me for a season. On the other hand, if I were to hear that Aunt Bessie, who lived in Oklahoma, who was 99 years old, who I hardly ever knew, she passed away and left me $100,000. I would be ecstatic. That would be a different feeling. You know, bless old Aunt Bessie's heart. You know, it was time for her to go, and she made the right decision. So it's the same thing is true with how we live the Christian life, and this is the way it goes with most of us. We're walking the Christian life. Well, I'll take care of this part of my life. Okay, God, I'll let you have this little part of my life. And so I'm doing some, he's doing a tiny bit. I'm doing most of it, he's making maybe one decision. But if all of a sudden, at some point in time, I understand that the command in Scripture is for me to be permeated, controlled, and led along by the Spirit of God, I would say, God, I'm going to yield my life completely to you. Self would disappear. I want everything controlled by you. My emotions, my acts of my will, my thinking processes. And that's the heart of what Paul is saying to us. If you want to walk the worthy walk, ladies, it's got to be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you see what I'm saying this morning to you? I want my whole life permeated so that I have the flavor of Jesus. I want my cells of faith billowed so I'm walking in the Spirit and I'm going where He wants me to go. You know, I'm just amazed. I'm amazed that I walk in my life, how God puts me together with people for divine appointments. I'm just in Walmart, there's a divine appointment. I'm at Fred's, there's a divine appointment. I'm at the playground, divine appointment. It's so cool being led by the Spirit. It's just so exciting. I tell you, it's the biggest adventure there is. I want everything completely controlled by Him. I want none of self. I want all of my emotions, all of my thinking processes filled with the Spirit of God. And we're going to talk in a minute how that works. So this is the heart of what Paul is saying here. Now, whenever the Lord wants to get a job done, can I just tell you, He always chooses someone who is full of the Spirit. That's His key. Because when He's full of the Spirit, He gets all the glory. For example, in Acts 6:5, they needed some men for a special job. What were the qualifications? Well, it says there, and the saying pleased the multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Later on, God needed a man, and He chose Saul. And in Acts 9:17, it says, so Ananias departed, entered the house, laid his hands on Saul, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Before he could ever begin his work, he had to be filled. Now, what does it mean to be filled? Well, it's a yieldingness. It's a yieldingness. Now, how do I get the filling? That's what we want to do. Number one, you don't pray for it. Do not pray for it. You don't get in the corner over there and say, oh, God, fill me, begging you to fill me. It is not a prayer request in the Bible. It is a command to you. Number two, it involves surrender. Surrender of our will, our intellect, our body, our time, our talent, our treasure, everything. And the next one, it means the death of self. You see, when I get out, He can fill me. Now, go back to Ephesians 5, and I'm almost done. I want to walk you through things. Look at verse 18. There's the command. It says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, what happens when you're filled with the Spirit? Let's look at it. Look at verse 19. The first thing that happens is this. Singing. You'll speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Here's the next thing that will happen. Look at verse 20. You'll be thankful. You'll give thanks always for all things. Look at verse 21. You're going to submit to each other. Look at verse 22. Spirit-filled wives will submit to their husbands. What else will happen? We'll look at verse 25. Spirit-filled husbands will love their wives. What else will happen? Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Spirit-filled children will obey their parents. Look at verse 4 of chapter 6. Spirit-filled fathers will not provoke their children to anger. Look at verse 5. Spirit-filled servants will be obedient. And look at verse 9. Spirit-filled masters will treat their servants right. Isn't it amazing? This is what results of the filling of the Spirit. Let me just give it to you. They're singing. They're saying thanks. They're submitting. And there's a whole lot of right human relationships. I wanted to share a personal testimony with you this morning. Because when I first got saved, you know, I was very zealous. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I had no background. But I'd heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, that sounded good to me. I wanted it. If that was a reality, I wanted it. I started studying. I got under a lot of charismatic teachers. One of the main ones was Kenneth Hagin. Read everything Kenneth Hagin had to say. And then when Sissy got sick and had cancer, I desperately wanted to believe that God always heals. God always heals. That nothing has changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He healed in the past. Heal Sissy today. I didn't want my child to die. So I got all into that charismatic teaching. I prayed and prayed and prayed that God would baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Well, how would I know that he had done it? What would have happened to me? Do you know the sign? I would have spoken how? In tongues. Or some kind of a language. A prayer language is what they call it. Well, that never happened. I remember one day I traveled with Bill on a trip and I said, I'm going to stay in my room all day and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I waited and I waited. I prayed, I begged. I did everything I knew to do. It never happened. And then I got involved in precept Bible study. Thank God for Kay Arthur. I learned you don't study your Bible by pulling a verse here, and a verse here. You take the Bible in context. And you cannot build theology out of the book of Acts. Did you know that Acts is not a doctrinal book in the Bible? I didn't realize that. And that whole theology of the baptism and miracles and all of that is built out of the book of Acts. So much of their scripture comes there. Do you know the book of Acts? It's the Acts of the who? Apostles. Did you know the apostles were an extremely unique group? And they are the foundation of the church. And they had the ability to do signs and wonders. And that was a sign that was showing they were from God and that what they were doing was from God. I didn't realize that I was seeking the wrong thing, but I studied all this and I thought I would speak a prayer language, or I thought someone might lay hands on me and I'd get slain in the spirit where you just fall out. And I even read about some churches who had this unique manifestation of the Spirit of God where they just laughed. They just laughed. And that was the baptism of the Holy Spirit on them. And I mean, it was crazy stuff. And then I began teaching precept. And I learned to take the Bible and to learn it in context. And it helped me so much. Doctrine doesn't come from the book of Acts. Filling with the Spirit here in Ephesians, did you see what I just told you it results in? It results in singing, saying thanks, right relationships, whether it's in your marriage or in your family or in your employment situation. It's all very, very practical. It affects all of our relationships. Now, real quickly, let me take you one more place, and I'm closing with this. Go to Colossians 3. This is so good. And I want you to look at verse 16. Verse 16, Colossians 3. It says there, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will lose heart. Not lose heart. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth. Not with an external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of their heart, fearing the Lord. Jump over to chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Now here in Colossians, we see that very same sequence that we just saw in Ephesians 8. You see singing, saying thanks, submissiveness, wives, husbands, children, father, servant, master. I mean, the sequence is identical. Now in Ephesians 5, we know what produces that. It's the filling of the Spirit. But what produces it here? It's a different. Did you see it? Look back at verse 16. How does it start?
Word.
Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Now let me tell you something. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is the exact same thing as letting the word of Christ dwell within you richly. It's got to be the same. Because look, it produces the very same results. I want to tell you, the filling of the Spirit is not something mystical. No. It's just taking in the Word of God and letting it dwell in your heart. You don't have to go around the corner and get in and plead with God for some kind of experience. If you want to be Spirit-filled, listen to me. Feed yourself the Word of God. And as you're feeding yourself, as you're filled with the Word of God, the result is that it will dwell in your heart abundantly and richly. And you'll find yourself thinking biblically. And you'll find yourself making biblical choices. You'll find yourself coming under control of the powerful, anointed Word of God. I'm amazed at how casual Christians are about the Word of God. To me, it's the key to everything. It's the key to prayer. It's the key to walking in the Spirit. It's the key to having a life of joy and abundant living. Oh, you're so wise to give it priority and to learn it and to live it. And when you pour the Word of God in your life, it becomes the thing that controls you. Because who is the author of the Word of God? Who is it? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ. And being filled with the Spirit is just simply letting the Word of God dominate my life. That helps me so much. How can I obey that command, Teresa, to be filled with the Spirit? Fill my life with God's precious Word and let it control me. I just so love the Word of God. It's so very practical. I can't live without it. I'm totally addicted to it. Just for one example, our lesson a few weeks ago where we said, and make the most of every opportunity. I cannot tell you how that verse has impacted my life. Every opportunity. And that's in my mind all the time. I'm just walking along and there's something. Teresa, can you do that? There's an opportunity. Can you babysit? There's an opportunity. That comes every day. Can you babysit? Can you babysit? Can you babysit? And I'm like, okay. And I get really tired. But I'm making the most of every opportunity. I'm walking right now through something with someone I love very dearly. It's a very hard thing. It's very hard. And it has to do with her sons. She doesn't live here. And it's absolutely heartbreaking. And her sons have made some very wrong choices. And they're very far from the Word of God. And I'm praying with her, and I mean, her sons are 26. You don't make 26-year-olds do anything. They're men. And as mothers, you pray. And I'm praying with my sweet, sweet, sweet friend. And I feel so guilty because my life is so free and so full, and I have joy and I have purpose. You want to sit right here, sir? You want to sit right here? Okay. And I just think, oh, God. Sin will cost you more than you ever wanted to pay and take you further than you ever wanted to go. And that's what's happened in their life. And I just think if they could be set free and have that river of living water spring up in their lives, it could be so different for them. I just pray, oh God, open their eyes. Because the life in the flesh, It leads to death. But the life in the Spirit, oh my goodness, it leads to peace, to joy, to contentment, and to satisfaction. It's just so wonderful to be Spirit-filled and let the presence of Christ dominate your life. Now, next week, we're going to start with the verses that follow. And they are the consequences of being filled with the Spirit. And as I told you, I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about music. And I want to encourage you, be here next week. The command, be filled with the Spirit, is the key to unlocking the worthy walk. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word this morning. And I pray, God, oh God, may we understand you're in us. And you want complete control. You want to fill ourselves of faith. You want to permeate us, God. And may we let the word of Christ dwell within us richly so that we'll think biblically and we'll make biblical choices and we'll honor you in the way we live, in our singing and in our saying of thanks and in our relationships with one another. That our lives might be powerful. That our lives might have a message. And that we'd be very salty. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. See you next week.